We're going to move now to the last case for oral argument this morning. This is Appeal 25-2592, Kia and Kat LLC v. Barnhart. We'll begin with oral argument on behalf of the appellant from Mr. Comelli.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. Just as a matter of housekeeping, Judge, in regards to the Fifth Amendment argument we have made and due process, I'm withdrawing those. They don't apply. I would like to withdraw. And besides that, Judge, in regards to the counsel that was actually in this case, in the underlying case, who was in custody in Italy based on the Interpol red notice from Iran, it's me. So I am the counsel who was in custody as I was coming back from Dubai the day before the pretrial. I was arrested in Rome and I served, I was in custody for 10 days in jail, after that house arrest for 30 more days. And because the Italian law says that the Iranian government has to show in 40 days the extradition papers, they have to show that why they want me back to Iran, and they failed to do so. So I was released on January 20th, 2025, with the help of the United States government as well, the consulate and the embassy of the US in Italy. They were aware of the situation, they were in contact, and the Court of Appeals of Rome released me and I came back to the States. But the facts of this case, judges, are very important. This was not a case that was just filed. This case was filed back in May of 2019. It was stopped based on the bankruptcy stay when the defendants at the time, I believe it was later in 2019 or 2020, they filed for bankruptcy, everything was stayed, and then the case came back to the district court when the stay was lifted back in 2023 or 2024. We went through discovery, everything was done, and the hearing was set for December 18th of 2024. December 2010, we had a pretrial. The pretrial was in district court, the 9th of December. I'm coming back from Dubai and I got arrested, so I was not able to participate in that hearing. And my office manager on December 10th notified the district court that Mr. Comelli is not available. Then later on December 16th, there was another motion filed, 16 or 17, in regards to notifying the court that we don't know where Mr. Comelli is, because the accusations that the Iranian government had made against me made me not to be able to call anyone. It was an issue that organized crime. And organized crime in Italy is being taken very seriously because of the history of organized crime in Italy. So I was not able to make any calls to my wife, to my staff, or anything else until the time that I was released to house arrest in Italy on the 19th of December of 2024. So in one of the, then I learned that the judge had moved the case from the December 18th court to January 16th. So we did file, the plaintiffs in this case, the appellants, they did file to ask for the case to be continued till we get some information about where Mr. Comelli is, the lead counsel on this case who has been on the case for 6 years. Then again, we asked again, when I was released, I filed as I was in Italy, I filed another request on January 11th, 2025, saying that, Judge, you know, I'm still in Italy. I cannot skip. I'm stuck here. So we can either do a WebEx trial or let's just continue this again. And that request was denied. The request was denied. And on the January 16th, the trial went on without any representation from the plaintiffs. And if you look at the transcript, it's 27 pages. 27 pages transcript. So the trial was supposed to start at 10:30. One of my associates shows up, Mr. Burke, says that can we get a lunch break at 12 o'clock, because another counsel who is a member of the trial bar can come in and talk and do the case. The judge denied that also and said, I do not take lunch at 10:30. The trial continued, and Mr. Burke, who was not, he's an attorney, he was not allowed to participate because he was not part of the general bar or trial bar of this court. So the case continued without
of the NDIL. not a member of the a trial bar of the NDIL, not this court.
Of the district court, yes. So the trial moved on without any representation from the plaintiffs. Goes on. January 16, the trial is done. And in July 18, 2025, so 5 months later, the order was entered. Within 28 days, we file a motion to reconsider. That gets denied, and here we are. So I do understand that the judges in district court, they do have the discretion, complete discretion, to run their own scheduling, docket. We understand that. But this is the part, Judge. The extraordinary circumstances that the trial has to be moved, what does that mean? Does that mean that the attorney has to be dead? Yes. But what about incarceration? That it was in a foreign country, it was impossible for me to make any calls from December 10th and December 19th. And as soon as I come out, we asked for continuation. We filed everything that was supposed to be done to get the case moved. So everything procedurally we were supposed to do prior to the trial, we have done. And anything procedurally to motion to reconsider after the trial, we have done. But the abuse of discretion, I do understand, and I have tremendous respect for the district judges. I do. I've been practicing here for almost 30 years. But when the attorney is in custody and there are documentations shown, they are part of the records, pages 72, pages 70, all the way to 81. The Italian courts, the time that I was in custody, that I was not, since I did not have any close relatives, I was not able to get a bond, and they ordered me to stay.
Mr. Camilla, can you focus? I totally hear what you're saying.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, you're very clear about that. I want to make sure we're not passing in the night, because the district court's focus was a little bit different than what you're focused on. Okay, tell me I'm mistaken. Here's what I read.
Yes, sir.
What the district court was really focused on was when your circumstances beset you and you were detained on December 17th at that hearing, December 17th of 2024, the court acknowledged that, hey, if this continues, there's going to need to be other lawyers that step in that need to be admitted to the bar. That's expressly in that transcript.
Yes.
Okay, and then we fast forward to the trial date in mid-January of 2025, and your associate shows up, but in between that month of time has not applied to the bar. That becomes a big focus of the district court. Okay, so that's part of what informed her exercise of discretion. Can you speak to that?
The associate shows up. Absolutely, Judge. He didn't apply for the general bar. I understand that. But it is the inherent power of the courts that even if they are not a part of a general bar, she could have. And this is the associate who was in the previous case with the same defendant, almost the same facts, the case of Eileen.
Mr. Burke. Yeah.
Mr. Burke, yes. In case of Eileen and Rompton, which went, I believe, for 2 days of hearings, Mr. Burke was sitting at the counsel's table, and he was well aware of the case. So could the judge at that point say that, you know what, you're not part of the general bar, you're not part of a trial bar, and this is going to be a fast trial maybe, and based on the same facts, and please allow me to tell you, Judge, we had filed pre-trial exhibits. We have filed trial exhibits, and most of the trial exhibits were not disputed by the police. So they could have come in, and they would have come in. And I have no idea why the judge did not even consider many of those. But in regards to Stephen Burke, he comes in, Judge, on that day and says that attorney Albuquerque is about to come, but there was a conflict and he was just coming into the case. So we notified the court that we are going to have an attorney coming in to do it, but just give us some time for him to show up. So that has been part of the record, and the judge did not take the lunch at 10:30, which I understand. The meaning of the lunch was not that let's go eat lunch, but let's just continue the case maybe instead of 1 hour break we're going to get, maybe we can start a case a little bit later. So that was said, and that was completely ignored, and I believe just based on the 27 pages, the whole trial was maybe 1 hour or 2 hours. So the main question is that whether this was abuse of discretion that was done when the motion was filed to ask for the case to be moved to a later date, and whether it was also the abuse of discretion based on the 59 and Rule 60. I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Camilla. We'll move now, Mr. Peretz, to you for argument on behalf of the appellee.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. I totally agree with Judge Scudder's analysis of this case. On the date that the first motion to continue the case was brought, Judge Hunt gave a roadmap for how to proceed. She said Mr. Camelli's continued incarceration was not going to stop this case because it was very similar to the Island and Rampton case. And she noted that Mr. Burke had sat in the courtroom and, in fact, participated with Mr. Camelli, not before the court, but with Mr. Camelli in guiding him in some of the procedures. She gave a roadmap. She said, Mr. Burke, all you got to do is apply for membership in the Northern District of Illinois, not even the trial bar, just the bar, and I'll waive, on motion, I'll waive the requirement that you apply to the trial bar. I know you know the case. It's going to be a fairly simple case. Now, when we get, and during that motion, the judge asked Mr. Attakirk, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, how long they needed. And he said, anytime after January 15th. So she gave them January 16th, after January 15th. Now, Mr. Camelli also mentioned here that the trial only took 1 to 2 hours from 10:30. And yet Mr. Attakirk still had not appeared at that point. So even that 1 hour lunch break would not have sufficed to get him there. This appeal is wrong in so many ways. Mr. Camelli just totally disregards the judge's admonishments from the December, forgive me, from the December motion to continue. And I would also point out, thankfully to Mr. Duffy in a previous case, that unless any person, I forget the exact quote, but the abuse of discretion will not be found unless there isn't a single person who would disagree with the decision of the
trial. Can I ask you about the evidentiary aspect of the case? It's a bit of a, you're both very clear on this. It's not a full-blown trial. There's some in-court aspect of it, but a lot of it is done on the papers because of the similarity that the court saw with the prior matter. Okay. But with respect to this case, okay, and what happened in court, I read the record to have admitted, in other words, not excluded, to have accepted into evidence all of the plaintiff's proposed exhibits. Is that accurate or inaccurate?
I disagree with that, Your Honor. I would say that the judge indicated, I believe, on the record that there was nobody there to present the documents, and therefore they would not be admitted. I don't recall the page number. I wasn't expecting that question. But that's my recollection of Judge Hunt's comments.
And you were present on that day?
I was. I was the attorney for the defense.
Who was it? Remind me who your client was.
Barnhart and LMLC, franchise and management. All three defendants. And counter plaintiff.
Okay. I think there's a typo then in the transcript. There's a passage in the transcript where the court says, all right, Mr. Parrott's addressing you. Are you moving for the admission of all of the plaintiff's proposed exhibits? You respond, yes, Your Honor, that's fine. Court, all right, those will be admitted. Okay.
I believe, I'm pretty sure that's a typo? A typo, Judge. I would never admit, if counsel had been there.
It's odd that the defendant would move the admission of the plaintiff's exhibits.
Exactly. Did you have exhibits that day?
Yes, I did.
Did you move yours?
I did. Unless the court has additional questions for me, I'll ask that the court affirm the decision below. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parrott. Mr. Camelli, you have about a minute left.
Your Honor, when Mr. Albuquerque asked for the continuation after January 15th, he didn't know anything about when I'm going to be able to come out. So he asked for January 15th just to see what happens to me coming back to the States. So without, as I mentioned earlier, December 18th or 19th, I was released. And this happened, the hearing was on December 16th or 17th. So it was prior for him to have all the knowledge that I'm not going to be able to come back for 40 days from December 10th. So just want to make that clear for the record. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Camilli. Thank you, Mr. Peretz. The case will be taken under advisement. That will close our hearings for the day.